Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 5 through 15. In his message titled, "The Amazing Secret Magic Jesus Prayer That Works Every Time," Reverend David Williams tells us that we do things over and over because they are comfortable. Sometimes we forget why we are doing them or why they are important. One of the things we need to remember is how important it is to bring our problems to God through prayer. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. Ours is a complicated world. There are in our lives many demands, many expectations, and we look at the complexity of our day-to-day existence and we look for ways to get through it. We look for things that will make life easier. We look for things that will make life smoother. And we often look for that one solution that's going to fix absolutely everything. Sometimes it's complicated, sometimes it's simple, but usually the more complex and detailed and finicky it is, the more we think it's going to solve our lives' challenges. The reality, though, of the complexity of our life is that God's love for all of us is so straightforward, so simple, so pure that we miss it in our seeking after answers. Let's admit that we miss that love now, that we don't live it out. Let's do that in a prayer of confession. Please join with me in the praying. Gracious and almighty God, Alpha and Omega, your love for the world includes all of us. That love is greater and deeper and more gracious than we have a mind to conceive. It is also far purer and simpler than we can imagine. We'd much rather love what is strong and beautiful and honor those things that have power and shine. When it comes to loving simple things, we struggle, and we mask our struggle with our contempt or our sense of superiority. When we cast up those boundaries around our hearts and our communities, we are not serving you. Gracious One, forgive us for closing our eyes to the simple graces of your love. In Christ's name, please forgive us. Amen. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Our third scripture reading for today is drawn from Matthew's gospel. I'll be reading Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15. You can follow along on page 5 of your pew New Testament. Let's now listen a third time for God's holy word. Jesus said, "And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." When you're praying, don't heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Although it is hard to admit to myself and harder still to admit publicly, I will say it nonetheless, I very often don't feel like I'm a particularly great prayer. Thinking and writing and discussing, sure, that I can manage, and I know meetings warm the cockles of my Presbyterian heart, but praying, the act itself. I mean, I've got 40-plus years of doing my very best to follow Jesus, but I still sometimes feel fumbly at it, uncertain about it. And this is not supposed to be the case. You know, I've got degrees, darn it, I'm about to add another one. And I'm supposed to be at this point in my pastoral career one of those folks who's magically amazing at praying, radiant with my capacity for mystic incantations that summon the very angels to my beck and call. Or I'm supposed to be just prayers like boom, just like that, boom. You know, you're so pray-y that people are afraid to ask you a question because suddenly I'll be praying, you know that? Stillness I can do sometimes, and walking meditations, and I go over the prayer request list when it comes to me at the end of the week, and I say words, and I remember those I know personally, and I ask God's grace on those who I don't. Sometimes I sing His prayer, but then there are times where I speak out prayers and I feel just inadequate or uncertain. Here am I, this ephemeral lump of life, and I'm humming the air around me with vibrations that serve as symbolic reference for those who live in my culture, and I'm overthinking it again. And this is supposed to impress the creator of the universe. I feel so tiny in those moments. But I do pray every day. It's how I begin my mornings, even before I've left the bed, usually sometime between the first time I hit the snooze timer and the second or third. It's counting down my minutes, and I'm praying a little bit, or I'll try while I'm walking or when I'm driving, and I pray a whole bunch when I'm on the beltway or tiptoeing my motorcycle over patches of ice on Partnership Road. And the question becomes, well, how? I mean, how do we pray? How do we do this thing that is so central to the life of faith? And there are so many ways to go about it, almost as many as there are human beings. This last week, I pored through books on the subject, and there are countless books of them. I mean, in the seminary library, it's like a room, and I was at the public library during one of my son's drum lesson, and I'm looking at these shelves and shelves of books, books from mystics, books from pastors, all about prayer, these pastel-covered hardback books with pictures of TV preachers on the front who are eager to sell you that one prayer that is going to make you prosper because you know it really has done good for them. I was looking for one book this week in particular as I was thinking about the prayer we just heard Jesus say, and that book was supposed to be right there on the shelf, and there it was. I looked through the Dewey Decimal numbers, and it's not there. and I'm looking for this book on prayer, and I go back and I check the library system. Yes, it's definitively there. So, you know, I say, Lord, help me find this book. It's my magical library book finding prayer. And I smile to myself at the silliness of that, and I go back, and it still wasn't there, but like Inigo Montoya, drawn by his father's sword, I was going to find that book. And so I realized it must be behind the row. And lo, it was, shoved back there where no one could see or find it. Because this week I finally got around to reading a book that had been a runaway bestseller on prayer a couple of years back. Prayer of Jabez. Anyone remember that one, that book? It was the thing. You know, at the turn of the millennia, this was the book on prayer. So it's like 15 years later, I finally get around to looking at it. And I really could have looked at it before. You know, I thought I was too busy reading stuff, but I didn't know how short this book was. It was 90 pages and change, and it's a tiny little book with very big print. And reading it was interesting. This is a book that roots on the character Jabez from the Old Testament. And the whole book explores Jabez and his faith and his motivations and his childhood and his relationship with his mother, which is interesting because the only place in the whole Bible he's mentioned is in two verses where it says the name Jabez three times. And the prayer itself is tiny. It's tiny. It's just one verse in one chapter of the book of Chronicles. But the author who gave us this book said he prayed this prayer every day and credited it with all kinds of amazing things in his life. It was the super secret Bible prayer that no one had noticed. And of course, the only reason it was secret was because it was in the book of Chronicles in five chapters of lists of names that you can't even begin to pronounce. I mean, chapter after chapter after chapter. And I think that was part of the appeal of the book, the fact that this prayer is stuck in there, buried away, hidden like a mystic rune you find in a cryptic book. We like that. We like that idea, the idea that there is one easy trick that we just haven't found yet that's going to magically solve all of our problems. The book began with a promise. If you pray this prayer every single day, it will work. The author said that with utter confidence. Prayer is important. It changes the way we view the world. So I could sort of buy that. And then he said, be unafraid to pray selfishly. I had issue with that a little bit. But honestly, most of the rest of the book, short as it was kind-hearted and earnest. And the prayer itself, I mean, it's a sentence. It's easy to, two sentences, easy to remember. And that works, I guess, for people. For this little prayer in that book, it worked to the tune of over 10 million copies of the book sold, which made it number one on the New York Times bestseller list for months. Back then, when I had heard about it, and even now, it always struck me as bizarre that Christians would pour into the Bible looking for this one secret magic Bible prayer that you haven't heard of, hidden away in an obscure corner of Scripture. It strikes me as odd because we already have a simple prayer that's taught right there. I mean, just straight up. If you follow Jesus of Nazareth, he says, if you want to pray, here's how to do it. And he doesn't say it in secret, and he doesn't hide it. He's standing in front of a crowd on a mountain saying, here is how you pray. You hear about it today in Matthew. Not hidden away in a corner of the Bible, but central. Sermon of the Mount, at the core of the ethical and spiritual teachings of Jesus of Nazareth. And if we miss it there, we'll find it again in Luke in a slightly different form in chapter 11. The prayer right there for us. And it couldn't be more obvious. Intended to be that way. It's intended to be simple, elemental, pure, and comprehensible. And in my own prayer life, as I'm struggling, if I'm struggling, this prayer, without exception, is the one that I pray every single day. This is the prayer that comes out of my sleep-addled mind in the morning, and that I start my day with, sometimes when I'm not even finished dreaming. This is the prayer I pray on waking. This is the prayer that I speak into the inside of my helmet as I ride. And this is also a prayer we say in one of its forms pretty much every Sunday as we gather together. You know, we always lead into it. You know, the liturgist has to figure out how to make that transition. So we've just been talking about other stuff and praying for our friends in the world, but Jesus taught us this thing we always say, so now let us say it, saying, our Father. And then we all intone it together. It's a shared incantation. It's so long burned into our memories that it almost prays itself, which helps in the morning when you're waking up and it's the first prayer you want to say if it just flows. But it can also be a challenge. It can be a challenge, first of all, because it's always struck me as weird that, you know, here we have Jesus teaching us how to pray this prayer, which is the prayer you should pray in private. And where do we pray it most? When we gather together. It becomes our liturgical prayer instead of the prayer of our hearts. It's the Lord's Prayer. And the challenge, if we're churchy folk, is that we have learned it so early and so often, and it's become so well known to us that it becomes just sounds. You know, like dog, 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 dog. Just the vibrations in the air around us, which we're making because it's just coming as a reflex. And then we lose the purpose of it. We lose its meaning. It becomes like the prayers that I would sing every Hanukkah in the first 2 or 3 years of my, you know, dating and then marrying my wife and getting to go into those family celebrations, where we would gather and we would light the multitude of candles and words would be said, or rather, sounds would be made. And by year three, you know, you learn that prayer. Yeah, it's Hebrew and it's words you don't understand, but you're singing it and you're trying to deal with fire. And this gets, it's, once you've got kids, that's a real mind focuser, you know? It's like, we've got flame here in the kitchen, yay! Singing in the midst of fire prevention is a great mnemonic tool for prayer, but I'm not going to try to teach that here. Small building, one exit. What I would do every Hanukkah is sing that prayer, sing the Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam she'asah nisim la'avoteinu bayamim ha, and my wife would always go hem, because we'd always get that wrong, and then she'd go bazman hazeh, and I had no idea what I was saying, but I knew it by heart, and the words would tumble out, familiar from decades of repetition, woven up with music, but I didn't have any meaning in them. It was just sounds and light. And learning Hebrew helped with that, gave it meaning. But that pattern of repetition, that familiarity, can do the same thing to the English we speak. It can mean that we can say this prayer when we gather together, or we can say it if we choose to on our own, and it can become so familiar that the meaning is lost. And that is the challenge with this prayer Jesus has offered up. It is simple, it is perfect. But it can become for us just a tumble of vowels and consonants, a jumbled mass of sound, something that we pray on autopilot where our mind wanders afield. And that is why, as one of my commitments to myself that I will inflict upon you in the new year, yay, resolutions, that we're going to take a walk through this little prayer, concept by concept, sense unit by sense unit, slowing down a little bit, paying attention to it. Because things like this, prayers like this, are both simple and of that kind of magic that life is. They are important in the same way that the miracle of our existence is important, or the way that the faces of our loved ones and our friends are important. They're right there with us, so simple. What is important for us to do in the face of that familiarity is to not let those faces just become blurs. Bless you. Not let those moments lose their importance. We need to remember to slow down, to look, to appreciate, and to attend to the miracle of this reality, to listen for what it is we are really saying and really doing. Let that be so, for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us. And we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
I wake up in the morning and I look at the same clock radio that we've had since forever. And it's almost always the same numbers that pop up that I see through the blur of my pre-coffee morning. And it's like one day is the same as the next. And I forget, if I am not careful, how important each moment is. Our lives can become like that, where we don't see how important it is that we are simply here. We don't see that possibility. We don't see that life. All we see is the sameness. And if we are not careful, our faith can become like that too. Where the things we do and the patterns that become part of our day to day or our Sunday to Sunday just become sounds in the air. Patterns we're not paying attention to that have lost their meaning. What we are challenged to do in the simple prayer we hear today and in the sermons you're going to be listening to the next several weeks is to think a little bit more about what it is that Jesus is calling us to do in prayer, the way that he's calling us to engage deeply and simply with the life that we are asked to live. As you step out into the cold of this day, remember how precious these moments are. As you look into the faces of your loved ones, familiar as they are, remember how important they are. You may see them 1,000 times, but they are still vital living things. Don't let yourself forget them. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us, today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.